This week's message is entitled King Jesus and His Kingdom, Part 2. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Matthew 27, 42. Now, remember, we're looking at Jesus as King and His Kingdom. Now, not everybody accepted that Jesus was King. Amen. And so here we see in Matthew 27:42, while he was on the cross, they said he saved others. They scoffed, but he can't save himself. So he's the King of Israel, is he? They're asking the question in a mocking way. Is he the King of Israel? Is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe him. Now, humanly speaking, that seems very reasonable. A reasonable request. If Jesus is King, let him come down from the cross right now. And it says, and we will believe him. While they were, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And after prayer at Gethsemane, Judas arrives with soldiers. Give me a little background. Judas arrives with soldiers to betray Jesus. One of Jesus' followers drew a sword and cuts out the high priest's slave's ear. Right? Remember what the previous slide said. If he is the King, if he is truly the King, let him come down from the cross and save himself, and we will believe that Jesus is a King. So at Gethsemane, Matthew 26:52-54, it says, Jesus says to the follower, "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword." And we need to understand that. That's what happened to a lot of the gunmen in Jamaica. They use the gun, they die by the gun. It says, "Don't you realize that I could ask my father," watch this, "don't you realize that I could ask my father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly?" It says, "But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" Amen. So what that is saying is, Jesus is saying, listen, I have to die on the cross. I came for a purpose. Amen. He said, if I wanted, I could ask my father to send thousands of angels to deliver us. But he said, if I did that, the purpose for which I came would have been defeated. And what is that? So that you and I could be saved and have eternal life. So it's not a, you know, some people look at it as a weakness, as a defeat, a defeating of Jesus, for Jesus having died on the cross. But Jesus came to die on the cross to save you and I. Amen. So he didn't want to come off the cross. He had to face the cross. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, Luke 24:21. In this passage, he was walking. Jesus, the background to it was that after his resurrection, he joined two of his disciples as they were walking towards Emmaus. E-M-M-A-U-S. And they were having a conversation with Jesus, but they did not realize that it was Jesus that was walking and talking with them after his resurrection. Amen. And the Bible says that God hid it from their eyes, prevented them from recognizing that it was Jesus. And these are the words that they said to Jesus. They said, "We had hoped he was the Messiah who would come to rescue Israel." They said, "This all happened 3 days ago." Now, the Jews felt that this reflected the opinion of Israel, of the Jews. They felt that the purpose for Jesus coming into the world was to deliver Israel and to set up a physical kingdom. That's what they felt. But that was not so. Not at this time. The physical kingdom will come. But now it's a spiritual kingdom where the kingdom of God is manifested in the earth to individuals. So let me read it again. "We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Israel at that time was under Babylonian captivity. They were under Babylonian captivity, and they thought that the Messiah was going to come to deliver them. Luke 2:38. It says, "She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God." She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Amen. And this was Anna the prophet. Right? She what? Look at it. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And Jerusalem here represents Israel as a whole. The Jews were looking for a physical manifestation of God's kingdom. Right? They were looking for a physical manifestation of God's kingdom. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a physical manifestation when you hear about the kingdom of God? While Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Very important question. Are you the king of the Jews? Let's look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom." Very important. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. Amen? In other words, he would not have gone on the cross. His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. "But my kingdom is not of this world." Very important. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Amen? And that's why he prayed in John 17. He says, "Father, they are in the world." He's talking about his disciples. "They are in the world, but they are not of the world." And that's very important for every one of us to understand. We are in the world, but we are not to be like the world. We are not to embrace the principles and the lifestyle of the world. Our lifestyle and the principles by which we live must be in alignment with God's word. Amen? It says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Very important. Bible says, "Blessed is the man or the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor abideth in the way of sinners. As a Christian, you can't have a non-Christian as your best friend. As a Christian, you cannot have a non-Christian, you know, leading you and dictating how your life should be lived. It should be the other way. You should be telling them about Jesus. You should be telling them that fornication is wrong, that lying is wrong, that stealing is wrong. So we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me read that again. It says, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Praise God. Alright, question. If the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom, where is it? That's a very good question. If the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom, where is it? Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, I want to share a scripture that tells you where it is. But you know, you need a revelation from God to understand it fully. You need a revelation from God. Hallelujah. Luke 17, verse 20. One day, the Pharisees asked Jesus, very, very good question, when will the kingdom of God come? Amen? Any godly person would like to know that. When will the kingdom of God come? And what was Jesus' reply? He said, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Amen. Do you know that the kingdom of God has been among us in this service? How many people recognize that? That the kingdom of God has been in our midst during the service. And yet there are people in here who have not recognized that. Perhaps there are some here that are waiting for the service to end, but they have not recognized that the kingdom of God has been amongst us and is amongst us at this very moment. Think about that. Amen. And you know, that's what happened in the days when Jesus walked the earth. People recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, and people were standing beside him who saw him as the son of Joseph and Mary. They did not see him as the Son of God. So some recognized that he was the Son of God, and some saw him as the son of Joseph and Mary. What about you? What about you? Are you aware that the kingdom of God is evident amongst us? The testimonies that were shared, they are evidence that the kingdom of God is amongst us. When we are worshiping God during praise and worship, and the presence of God is in the atmosphere, it is evidence that the kingdom of God is amongst us. God himself is amongst us. And that's why you have some people coming to church and they are blessed because they recognize it and they tap into it. They worship God and they exalt God during that time and they are blessed, while others, they don't know what's happening and they are not blessed. They are not helped. They are not healed. They are not delivered. He says, you won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. In other words, it's not a physical manifestation. It is a spiritual manifestation. And do you know that everything that can be seen came from the invisible? That's the beautiful thing about the kingdom. This chair, you know, this handbag, this, you know, this shirt, the material that made this shirt, everything that we can see came from the invisible. How did that happen? Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God says, and let there be light. There was no light, you know. There was no light. No light was visible. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? Light came. It came from the invisible to the visible. He said, let there be stars. Let there be moon. Let there be sun. There was no moon. There was no stars. There were no stars. There was no sun. And they came from the invisible into the visible. That's what I love about the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the kingdom of God manifests in the supernatural. There is nothing that is impossible to God. Amen? Nothing. You know, I'm reading a book and I saw where this couple needed money, and they were praying to God and asking God for money to pay their bills. And when the lady's handbag that was previously empty, after prayer, when she went and she looked in her handbag, she found several thousand dollars that were needed for her to pay her bill. God supernaturally put the money in the handbag. Now, I don't know if you believe that. Well, I believe it. You know why? It happened to me. I remembered many years ago when I was a young Christian, but a lot of things happened to me when I was a young Christian, you know. We were broke. And at that time, our $100 bill was a big bill, you know. A big bill. Trust me. A big bill. And we were praying and we were worshiping. And when I looked in my shoe afterwards, I found $100 bill. God put it where I could find, where I definitely find it. Seriously. $100 bill. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Hallelujah. Somebody of us, come on, man, celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're talking about a real God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, the kingdom of God is not a physical manifestation. Amen. Not a physical manifestation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 12:28. Exciting. Let's get on to some more excitement here now. It says, Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Glory to God. Amen. When somebody comes to come up here for prayer and we lay hands and the power of God falls on them and they fall. What does it mean? The kingdom of God has arrived amongst us. You know, sometimes we see these things so often with us. But it's the kingdom of God. Amen. When we pray for somebody, you know, on Wednesday night, we got news that that her niece, 3-year-old niece, something like that, was critically ill in the intensive care unit. I don't know which hospital. But she was critically ill and she had some very life-threatening virus that they didn't understand, they're not aware what it was. Critically ill. And a request came for prayer. And we prayed. Prayed a simple prayer. And the next morning she put in WhatsApp, "Praise God. There was a significant improvement in the health of my niece." And I don't know if it's the following day, they released her from hospital 3 days before she was expecting to go. Amen? What's that? The kingdom of God arrived in that hospital and the power of the Holy Spirit touched her and delivered her. You see, God is working in our midst, you know, but guess what? Some of us don't understand. We just take it for granted. And God wants to work more in our midst. That the kingdom of God is in our midst. The kingdom of God came in her situation. That's what happened. Amen. The kingdom of God came in her situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Kingdom of God has arrived among us. Brethren, the kingdom of God is in our midst. The kingdom of God is in your heart. It is in your life. You just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, man, we're going to stop playing church. Amen. They used to say, "Let the church be the church." Who's the church? Not the building, not the organization, but we are the church. Amen. The people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Several weeks ago, how, you know, he's at university, and how, you know, no resources, and how God provided, I think, 2 scholarships for him. But what does that tell you? The kingdom of God arrived in situation. Amen. The kingdom of God arrived and manifested himself and provided for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. So let's look at this now. Let's analyze this scripture here. Jesus said, "But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you." The King James says, "If I by the finger of God," finger of God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so many people are oppressed by demons. Some are possessed by demons. But the Holy Spirit can arrive and they are cast out. Amen. Alright, so next. Let's look at this. The kingdom of God will come into a specific situation here and now. You understand that? The kingdom of God will come into a specific situation here and now. Yesterday evening, you know, while I was at the National Arena, my sister Donna called me. She had a severe attack of sickness. vomiting, low blood pressure, you collapsed. She passed out. Amen. And they were rushing her to the intensive care unit at the university hospital. Just give me the words. I don't remember the words. What was the words of the prayer?
Prayed, God, please let my grandma live and not die in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And what happened to you?
And every pain stopped. Everything stopped while they were, I was out. And I just heard that little voice praying. I was lying in her lap in the back seat.
Yeah.
And I just came back around.
Amen. So guess what? A little child who believed in Jesus prayed, and what happened? The kingdom of God arrived in the car. Isn't that wonderful? The kingdom of God arrived and everything stopped. Brethren, God is saying something to us. God is doing something to us. I know it starts with me, it started with me. God is saying it's time to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen? No, hold on. It's time to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. The kingdom of God will come into a specific situation here and now if you invite him to come. And sometimes you don't even invite him and he still comes. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, I am in love with the Lord's Prayer. I am so in love with the Lord's Prayer. You know, when it says, let your kingdom come. You know what that is saying? God is challenging us to invite him to bring his kingdom into every situation, into the here and now. Because, remember, kingdom means God's rule and God's reign. You see, when God's rule and God's reign came into her life, what happened? The sickness had to leave. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
The sickness had to leave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Next one. The kingdom of God is far more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. What is the kingdom of darkness? That's Satan and his kingdom. Satan and his kingdom. The kingdom of God is far more powerful than the kingdom of darkness, which is sickness, death, murder, rape, poverty, extortion, depression, etc. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And then the third point. It says, look at this. When the kingdom of God arrives, Satan is defeated and God's rule is established. Let your kingdom come, O God. Hallelujah. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Every day I pray that. Every situation. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to the living God. Amen. All right, question. Will there be a physical kingdom? That's a good question, you know. Thank you for asking it. Praise the Lord. Will there be a physical kingdom? Jesus just said that the kingdom of God is, you can't say, there it is, or here it is. Will there be a physical kingdom? Yes, in the future. And Jesus tells us about it. You know, all of you who are sacrificing, you give up, some of you give up men, some of you give up women, some of you give up, you know, what I mean is in terms of immorality. You know, you give up this and you give up that. And sometimes you say, is it really worth it? Well, the Bible tells us it is worth it. Amen? What it says? It says, Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, the world is what? Made new. You know what the Bible says? Heaven and earth shall pass away. Do you know that the Bible says that every island going to disappear in the sea? Jamaica going to disappear in the sea one day, you know? Some of you might say, boy, I got to leave now. I need to leave out of this place. But the whole earth is going to pass away. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. Not might pass away. It will pass away. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. And all those who are serving Jesus, who are faithfully serve Jesus, they're going to be a part of that new heaven and that new earth. And you know, sometimes when we try and think about it, envision it, we think that, you know, you're just going to stand up and go in that new dispensation. But let us see here. There's a little insight here. What does it say? It says, the Son of... It says, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers, who? You who have been my followers, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, do you know that you can believe in Jesus and yet you are not a follower of Jesus? It's frightening, you know, but it's true. You can believe in Jesus, but you are not a follower of Jesus. When you follow Jesus, it means that you follow his words. You obey his words. You live as Jesus wants you to live. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne. So there will be a physical kingdom. And Jesus is going to sit on a glorious throne. It says, you who have been my followers, glory to God. Is there a follower of Jesus in here? Yes. Hallelujah. There's a message for you. Hear it. You who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I don't understand all of that fully. But I know that there will be a throne. Amen. And it says that those who are his followers will sit on 12 thrones. I don't know how all of us are going to hold on the 12 thrones. Or I don't know if it's a literal throne. But there will be thrones. It speaks of authority. Amen. It speaks of authority. And that there will be judgment. And it says, you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says, and everyone... Watch this. Everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake. I wonder how many of us here have ever given up anything for Jesus. I wonder if there is anybody here that Jesus is speaking to them about giving up something or someone and you are resisting. There's a prize here, you know. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return. You know where that is? In this life. 100 times as much in return. And will inherit eternal life. Amen. The rich young ruler, Jesus really gave him a hard challenge. Jesus says, sell everything you have. And he had a lot of possession, very rich, and give it to the poor. And he said, no. He said, no. Very sad moment in history. He said, no. What about you? Amen. What about you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, It's a wonderful thing to submit your life to Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to yield everything in your life to Jesus. It's a wonderful place to be where you say, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in my life as you have ordained in heaven. It's an important thing to be in the will of God, because the truth is that a better life can only come in a relationship with Jesus. A better life, a meaningful life. Every now and then I think about the fact that, you know, I gave up my green card to come to pastor church in Grandspan. And sometimes I say, I wonder if they're mad. Or do something like that. Sometimes I'm challenged. But I know that God made me do it. And then when you come to Grandspan, you have a lot of people who rush into the embassy to get visa to go away. They don't want to stay in Grandspan. But that don't affect me. I came here to advance the kingdom. Amen. For souls to be saved. That is of no concern to me. Should be of no concern to me. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Lord, in this life, as you have ordained in heaven. Praise God. Amen.